fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off once again with African football. This past week has been a busy one in the qualifying competition for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. The group phase, spanning all 12 qualifying groups, is in high gear, and there are more qualifiers on Tuesday. After Tuesday's matches, there will be a break of more than 9 months, with the qualifying campaign resuming at the end of August 2020. In results Monday, defending Nations Cup champion Algeria defeated host Botswana 1-0. Youssef Belaili scored directly from a corner kick in the 15th minute. The Desert Foxes of Algeria are off to a good start in the Cameroon 2021 qualifying campaign, with 2 wins in their first 2 matches, and the Algerians are at the top of Group H with the maximum 6 points. Meanwhile, the Black Stars of Ghana are at the top of Group C with the maximum 6 points after Monday's 1-0 road victory against Sao Tome and Principe. Crystal Palace man Jordan Ayew converted a penalty shot for Ghana in the 50th minute. Monday's 4 other Nations Cup qualifiers ended in draws. In Group D, Gambia and the visiting Democratic Republic of Congo played to a 2-2 draw. In Group F, host Cape Verde and Mozambique played to another 2-2 draw. And there were 2 more draws in Group G, a scoreless draw between Comoros and visiting Egypt, and a 1-1 draw between host Kenya and Togo. Like Ghana, Senegal, and defending champion Algeria, Nigeria has 2 wins in its first 2 qualifiers and is in first place in its group, Group L. Nigeria beat visiting Benin 2-1 in Uyo and then traveled to Maseru, where the Super Eagles defeated host Lesotho 4-2. For reaction to the victories over Benin and Lesotho, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the media officer of Nigeria's Super Eagles, Toyin Ibitoye.
Well, we are happy. We had a good start to the 2021 AFCON qualifiers. The victory in Uyo against the Benin Republic was a big boost for our confidence. And, of course, the game in Maseru was a tough game, was a very difficult game. But we are happy we were able to navigate it on artificial pitch, high altitude, and, well, not too much time to prepare, but we are happy we were able to get the job done, and we look forward to continuing in this spirit going forward.
Do you think the Super Eagles have more obstacles to getting AFCON 2021 ticket?
Well, we have only played 2 out of the 6 games in the qualifying round for the 2021 AFCON, so we have 4 more games to play, and we have to approach these games with the same intensity, with the same approach, with the same confidence level, with the same hunger and commitment. And so I will say yes, we have 4 more difficult games to play before we can say yes, we have qualified for the AFCON 2021. So there are a lot of obstacles still on the way. We cannot afford to rest on our oars. We have to go out there and try to get the job done and be serious, be focused, be hungry, be committed, as we've always been.
What's your take on the young players in the team? Should Coach Gernot Rohr go for more players?
We're happy we have a lot of young players in our team. Our team is getting better and better, and you could see in the game against Lesotho that we were playing on artificial pitch as if we were playing on grass. We were moving quickly, we were passing the ball, we were playing good football. So it's a result of the fact that our team is young, is fresh, is energetic, and can play intensive football. It's not so much about young players, it's about quality. You could see Ramon Aziz. He's not exactly a young player, but you saw him. He came in and he brought something extra to the team. So the team is always open to good players. If you're a good player, there will always be space for you in a good team. And that's what Coach Gernot Rohr is trying to build, a team that can go out there and keep getting better and better and better. So there's still room for improvement. No team is perfect. You have to continue to work and improve, correct your mistakes, consolidate on your areas of strength. And that is exactly what Coach Gernot Rohr is doing with the present bunch of the Super Eagles.
Looking at the two matches played by the Super Eagles, which do you consider to be tougher?
No two games are the same, so I cannot say any game is tougher than the other one. The circumstances around the games are different, and then the factors around the games are different, the atmosphere around the games are different, the way you prepare for the games are different. So both games were tough, and I'm happy that in spite of the fact that we considered the first goals in both games, we came back to win. So both games were tough, both games were difficult, and we prepared for them. Coach Ganatoa told the boys that the games will not be easy, and indeed they were not easy, but we are happy we were able to get two victories, 6 points, and we are in control of our group.
That's Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of Nigeria's national football team, the Super Eagles. And Toyin was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Maseru, Lesotho.
Sporty greetings. This is Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the fall of the Berlin Wall 30 years ago marked the end of the Cold War and brought about a number of significant changes in Africa. We'll take a closer look on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America. VOA.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to disabled sports, my VOA colleague Adam Phillips recently met with some runners from Achilles International in New York. The nonprofit group is dedicated to inclusion and excellence among the athletically inclined disabled. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2019, let's listen in again to Adam's feature report.
It's 6 o'clock on a crisp October evening, and several members of the Brooklyn chapter of Achilles International are gathering at a local runner's store for their weekly workout in nearby Prospect Park. Jean-Pierre is among the first to arrive. Lovingly known by his friends as the ultimate running machine, he found Achilles after a violent robbery left him with a traumatic head injury. For him, Achilles' folks are family.
They're always there for me. We run together. We do social things like we go out, eat sometimes. It changed my life completely. Run the races. I feel good, especially when they cheer me out and push me to the finish line all the time.
Have you run marathon before?
I ran about 13 marathons.
Did you finish ever?
I finished all my marathons.
Wow, what's it like to cross the finish line after a race like that?
Feels good, and once I get to the finish line, I want to do it over again.
Nearby, Michael Ring also greets friends and prepares to work out. This seemed unlikely 5.5 years ago when Ring was struck with a sudden onset autoimmune disorder that paralyzed his limbs.
I was hospitalized for 135 days. They thought I was going to die. I didn't die.
Ring was isolated and depressed when he finally came home. But a concerned friend from Achilles International decided to start a local chapter to help support and encourage him and people like him. It was an instant success.
Life handed me a lot of lemons, like a lot of lemons. I was really screwed up. And I knew I had to make lemonade. Suddenly I found these great people. You know, I found other broken people and people who cared about broken people. You know, that you know, we can come and we can talk about our problems, learn about how to deal with accessoride and how to deal with other issues about being a person with a disability in New York.
What does the athletic aspect of it contribute to it that it makes it more than just a simple support group?
It's mainstreaming disabled athletes. Like, I was an athlete. I mean, I was never a great athlete. I ran 2 marathons a year. I ran a race every other weekend. I was just a runner. And this is a place where people with physical disabilities can go out and run with people who aren't disabled, you know, and feel great about themselves. You know, go out and get accomplishments in the able world.
Well, how are you doing these days?
Well, I finished 3 marathons. You know, I used to finish marathons in 4 or 5 hours, and now I finish marathons in 9 or 10 hours.
Sunday will be the first New York City marathon for 39-year-old Neil Biddy, whose hydrocephalus blinded him over 12 years ago.
The first time I ran was in Manhattan Achilles International. That was in Central Park. Basically, I didn't know how to run at that time. Basically, I was just sprinting, and then I started walking. And all that. I didn't know anything about pacing and all that. But when I got to Brooklyn Achilles, there was a guy named Sam Smullen. He's one of the guides for Achilles and everything. He slowed down my pace, and basically, soon enough, I did 0.5 miles, a mile every week and everything, and soon enough, I hit 3.4 miles around Prospect Park with no problem.
How did that feel?
It felt good.
Achilles athletes often run with able-bodied volunteers who offer companionship, safety, and support. These guys are often surprised by the sheer athleticism of those they're helping and inspired by their positive attitudes toward life.
Neil, do you have a guide?
Good luck in the marathon, Richie.
Out in the park, Nicoletta Naranjis, an experienced able-bodied marathoner, says she found her way back from severe depression through running and guiding others at Achilles International.
You know, I think life in general is very difficult. We have our ups and downs, but I think the guide through Achilles and through guiding an athlete is really seeing another person with challenges that to them could be beyond, like, how could I go through something like that? Like, I don't know how. And then to see the athlete running and walking and coming every week and running races and getting medals and feeling amazing and having difficult days, but like keep going. And I think out of this, the guides, they just keep moving forward as well. Their life is transformed by it just as much as the athletes. It's a life-changing place.
Indeed, one thing is clear for all the runners, guides, and volunteers at Achilles International and hundreds of thousands of others. If you work hard against the odds and have fun along the way, you have won a prize richly deserved. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
In Major League Soccer news, the Montreal Impact has formally introduced former French star Thierry Henry as the team's new head coach. Joining us with details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. At his first press conference as the new head coach of the Montreal Impact, Thierry Henry says his style of play will be in your face.
It's about fighting all the time. This is a story, not only my story, it's a story of everybody in life. You know, you're going to fall, like I said before, but it's how you get up. And learning from your mistake, learning from what happened, then not coming back for me is the only mistake that you can have, and so on. So, you know, not scared, being here, trying to put a philosophy and identity to the club is very important, that the fans can identify. At the end of the day, fans want to see people caring about where they are and caring about the club that they play for. And that's what I'm going to try to put into that team, with, the style that I like is, you know, very in your face, very direct, trying to put pressure, play out from the back, but also having a plan B because this league is ruthless at times.
Well, the ruthless sting of the league has bitten Henry one or two times since his retirement. Henry worked as an assistant coach to the Belgium national team with dreams of being in charge of his own team one day. And he got that chance when he landed his first head coaching role for AS Monaco, the team the former striker played 5 seasons for and won the league title in 1997. However, that introduction to coaching was turbulent and brief. Under his direction, the squad lost 11 of their 20 matches. and Henri was fired after just 103 days. But he says he's learned from his mistakes and hopes the lessons from the past will benefit him in his new role with the Montreal Impact.
You know, sometimes you start well, sometimes you don't. I had a great experience with Belgium. I know I wasn't a head coach. Not so great experience with Monaco, although I learned very important. That's why I think you learn the most, by the way, when you find out a lot about yourself in tough situations, shall I say. But yeah, I'm not scared of coming here. I see the positive side of it. I played against this team. And when I was coming in all the time, I saw how passionate the fans were, as I saw at the airport.
And his fans have plenty to cheer about. Henri is considered a legend in football and one of the most recognizable faces in the sport. During his 20-year career, he was the lead goal scorer for the France national football team and the proud owner of almost every major trophy and honor in the game. He retired from international soccer in 2010 as one of France's most accomplished strikers. And following a stint in the United States with the New York Red Bulls, he left the pitch for good in 2014 to continue his football run from the sidelines. But Henri says the cheers from the fans and the glow of the spotlight did not make him the player he became.
I don't like to talk about my career, but I will go back a little bit. Is you guys always remember good stuff, but I became a better player in the dark. In the dark side, you know, the darkness. That's when you start to be a better player. You guys remember the great moment and whatnot. But that's not where you become a great player. So hopefully that's going to help me to becoming a good coach.
Well, Henri will get his chance at becoming a good coach when he takes over the Montreal Impact in mid-January. He has signed a 2-year deal until the end of the 2021 season with an option to extend it for another year. Henri says he long ago fell in love with French-speaking Montreal. And following the announcement, he tweeted, "I'm excited for this challenge in such a multicultural and diverse city, and I can't wait to be back on the sidelines." Well, our congratulations to Thierry Henri on the new chapter in his legendary career. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the inaugural ATP Cup team tournament will be played in Australia in January. Ahead of the competition, Craig Gabriel caught up with the captain of the Russian team in London. Here's Craig.
With Marat Safin for Tennis Australia in the ATP Cup. Marat, you've always been regarded as one of the great characters of men's tennis. You were always incredibly popular in Australia. Your thoughts about going back as captain of the Russian team for the ATP Cup?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the presentation. Yeah, but definitely 10 years flew like in one moment, and it's good to be back into the tennis family, but with a different emploi. It's going to be an interesting time. Let's see if I can be helpful for the team, and definitely for me, I'm looking to win this thing, and hopefully to help the guys to give their best, and also to help them to start the year well. And also, yes, very important moment is to make sure that I don't interfere in private process of their coaches. So it's just I want to touch bases to see where are my limits.
Marat, for a period you were a member of parliament, so you were involved in politics. How are your political skills going to be when it comes to being a team captain for Russia at the ATP Cup?
Ooh, that's pressure. That's a big one. Well, hopefully the experience that I had before and working in politics will give me some confidence working with these two geniuses. Yeah, and it's very, very important thing to get to know them very fast and very good, so it can be more helpful and be a little bit more like on psychological side, and give them confidence, as much confidence they can get. And, let's see.
What would be your fondest memory of Australia and the cheer squads that you had over there as well when you won the Open and all the years that you participated and were so successful?
Well, first of all, I love Australia because the atmosphere, the people, the whole setup is very warm. So it's very comfortable atmosphere to play in. And also with the, especially with the roof, it helps a lot. The surf is amazing, and well, for me it was great thing to win in 2005. But there's a lot of stress because I made two finals, and I was stressing out that I'm having only one Grand Slam, so I wanted to win the second one. And for me it was too much stress. So once I won in 2005, it was like a big relief. It's okay. Part of the job is done, and it's always well. Come back in 11 years, come back there, just to get a good reminder, would be interesting part.
Russia's going to be based out of Perth. Mm-hmm. Have you been to Perth? What are your thoughts? Yeah. What are your memories?
Well, we played the Hopman Cup. It was an interesting event also, very friendly event. I think they're playing on the same site and, well, I'm not a gambler, but still, it's very close, very comfortable, easygoing city. I think it's a good start of the year.
Finally, you've touched on the guys in your team. Two unbelievable tennis players, explosive, exciting players. I think in the early stages, people would probably consider Russia as one of the hot favorites to win the inaugural ATP Cup. What are your thoughts?
They are right to think about to think like this, and I think yes, we have the big opportunity to win it because we have a solid team and the both guys are playing amazing, and it's important to start well. And the first match is against Italy, and that's going to be a crucial one, I think, to get the confidence and start the tournament well. So we'll see.
Marat, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you, Craig Gabriel, for that interview with Marat Safin in London. The National Basketball Association's longest current winning streak belongs to James Harden and the Houston Rockets, as we hear now from the AP's Adam Spillane in Houston, Texas.
The Houston Rockets' win streak has reached 8 games after James Harden scored 36 points in a 132-108 win over the Portland Trailblazers. Harden shot 11 of 19 from the field, and he scored at least 36 points in every game of the Rockets' win streak. Rockets guard Russell Westbrook says what Harden is doing is remarkable.
I think that a lot of people like to normalize greatness. We see it over and over again, but it's not normal because there's nobody else that could do it. If it was normal, everybody would do it.
Russell Westbrook finished with a triple-double for Houston, scoring 28 points, grabbing 13 rebounds, and dishing out 10 assists, while Clint Capella added 22 points, 20 rebounds, and 4 blocks. C.J. McCollum led the Blazers with 25 points. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. From Houston, let's go to Phoenix, Arizona, where the Boston Celtics scored a road victory against the Phoenix Suns. The AP's George Tanner reports from Phoenix.
Jason Tatum led 5 players in double figures with 26 points and 11 rebounds as the Celtics defeated the Suns 99-85.
We showed a lot of heart, a lot of fight. We could have held our heads down from yesterday. Streak ended, losing a close game like that. But it's a good thing about the NBA. No matter how good or bad you play, there's always a game coming up real soon, and that's what matters.
Kemba Walker added 19 points, Marcus Smart 17. Boston bounced back from a loss to improve to 11-2. The Suns, playing without point guard Ricky Rubio, held to a season low 85. They were led by Devin Booker's 20. Phoenix is now 7-5. George Tanner, Phoenix.
Thanks, George. The Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers, the NBA's two most successful teams over the years, have the league's best records right now. The Celtics and Lakers each have 11 wins and 2 losses. And that wraps up the November 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the fall of the Berlin Wall 30 years ago marked the end of the Cold War and brought about a number of significant changes in Africa. We'll take a closer look on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello Africa, this is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5 and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Diets high in protein but low in carbohydrates are quite popular among people who want to lose weight and hold on to lean muscle mass. Cutting down on the amount of foods high in carbohydrates and replacing them with those rich in proteins and healthy fats is supposed to help the body switch its fuel source from sugars to stored fat. A new paper from researchers at the European Renal Association and the European Dialysis and Transplant Association suggests these diets may also harm your kidneys. The researchers point out that high-protein, low-carbohydrate diets are often recommended to people who suffer from diabetes or who are obese. Denis Fouquet, past chair of the European Renal Nutrition Working Group, says that while a high-protein diet may help these people lose weight, it also comes with a risk of severe loss of kidney function. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.